together. I always find the role of numbers in the Torah to be a very fascinating thing. When does the Torah count something? Why does the Torah count something? How does the Torah count something? When the Torah counts something, is it a precise number? Is it an imprecise number? We have a very fascinating example of this in this week's Parsha. It talks about the family of Yaakov Avinu going down to Mitzrayim. And the Torah seems to list a very precise count of the family of Yaakov. And if you look in source number 1, in Parak Memvav, Ve'elu Shemos B'nei Yisrael Abba Mitzrayim Yaakov Uvanov. Here is the family of Yaakov and his children, Bechor Yaakov Reuven. And it goes on to list the family of Yaakov, of Reuven. And at the end of counting the children of each of Yaakov's wives, so the Torah gives us another page, Eila B'nei Leia, Sharyal Del Yaakov Padan Aram. Ve'ez Dina Bito, interesting, the woman who's counted on the list. Kol Nefesh Banav U'Benosav Shloshim V'Shalosh. A list of the children of Leah and the children's children, 33. Pasuk Yudches, Zilpa, the Torah enumerates them by name. Again, I took out the names just for the sake of time and space for the moment, but every name is important. And it lists a total of Sheish Esrei Nefesh, 16 souls from the family of Zilpah, from the children and descendants of Zilpah. Rachel, you have a total of 14. And Bilah, you have 7. And then the Torah in synopsis, Pasuk Havav, Pasuk Havzayin, Kol HaNefesh HaBal LeYaakov Mitzrayim Ayotze Yerecho Milvad Neshe B'nei Yaakov Kol Nefesh Shishim B'sheish. Excluding Yaakov's wives, the children are a total of 66. And then, concluding, source number 1, U'B'nei Yosef Asher Yulad Lo LeMitzrayim Nefesh Shnayim. Yosef had 2 children in Mitzrayim. Kol nefesh lebeis Yaakov abba Mitzrayim shivim, a grand total of 70. Something's a little bit off here, because we had 66 and then we just added 3, so that would be 69. And more precisely, if we were to look by the children of Leah, where it counts, the Torah counts for us 33, if we were to add them up, we would find 32. So something is definitely not exactly right. So Rashi, based on the Gemara in Maseches Sot and the Gemara in Bava Basra and Kufchav Gimel, Rashi will see in several places throughout his commentary on Chumash, Rashi adopts the approach of Chazal in that Gemara that I just mentioned in those two places, that really there's a missing character. Who is the missing character? Says Rashi in source number 2, Shloshim v'shalosh, u'bepraton i'atamotze ala shloshim u'shnayim. Count up the family of Leah, the names that are listed, you'll have 32. Something's not right. So who's number 33? And who's the one who's really going to bring us to that number of 70 when we add up all of the descendants of Yaakov? Elizo Yocheved Shenolda Ben Achomos B'chnisasan Leir. Apparently Yocheved, the mother of Moshe Rabbeinu, the mother of Aaron, the mother of Miriam, was born at the very moment that they were crossing in from Eretz Yisrael to Mitzrayim. Amazing idea. Where do we know this from? Again, Rashi's getting this from the Gemara. Shenemar asher yolda usa lelevi b'mitzrayim. It says that Yocheved was the daughter of Levi. Not a descendant of Levi, but the daughter of Levi, the person. The daughter of Levi. And she was what? And she was born in Mitzrayim. Well, was she born in Mitzrayim? Was she born on the way into Mitzrayim? She was born outside of Mitzrayim? Where was she born? So the Gemara explains, Leidasa b'mitzrayim ve'ein horasa b'mitzrayim. Right, that she was conceived, the conception of Yocheved was started outside of Mitzrayim, and she was born in Mitzrayim. Or as Rashi presents it here, she was born where? Bein HaChomos. Literally at the border. At passport control. She was born. Yocheved was born. Okay. That's the opinion of Rashi in this week's Parsha, Parsha of Vayigash. Now, the context of that Pasuk, which Rashi is quoting, Asher Yoldo Salalevi B'Mitzrayim, is a Pasuk in Parsha's Pinchas. And over there, it's enumerating the family of Amram. And it tells us that Amram had a wife. Her name was Yocheved. They had children, Moshe, Aaron, Miriam. It's in the general context of the reference of the count of Shevet Levi, which was counted separately from the rest of the Shvatim. You have the full pasuk in front of you in source number 3. And there again, Rashi in source number 4 is consistent. Rashi Lishitaso in source number 4, Asher Yoldo Oso LeLevi B'Mitzrayim, on that pasuk in Pinchas, Rashi writes, Leidasa b'Mitzrayim ve'in horasa b'Mitzrayim. She was born in Mitzrayim, but her mother's pregnancy was not in Mitzrayim. She was conceived outside of Mitzrayim. Kishenichnasu l'socha choma, Right? As they, again, entered into the walls of Egypt, that's where she was born. V'hi ha-shlima minyan shivim. And this Yocheved, again, completes the number 70. So again, whether we want to say the number is 33, it's really 32, and she's number 33. Or you want to say the total number is 70, it's really 69, and she's number 70. The bottom line is, something is off by one, and she's the one who comes to complete that family of 70 who went down to Mitzrayim. Okay, and a third time that Rashi brings his Shita, these are the three at least that I know of, it could be he has it elsewhere as well, but Rashi, back at the beginning of Bamidbar, when we first counted Shevet Levi, in Bamidbar Perak Gimel, in source number 5, Pekodes b'nei, this is the most interesting one, I think, Pekodes b'nei Levi lebeis avosam l'shpachosam, make a count of the members of the family, the tribe of the Levium, kol zachar mi ben chodesh v'mala tifkedim. How old does a Levi need to be counted? Like, Sukkim add up a total of 22,000 Levium. At what point do you start counting a Levi? From what? From ben chodesh v'mala. From 1 month and up. As opposed to the rest of the Jews, which are counted from the age of 20. 20 and up. Why by the Levium do you start counting from a month? So Rashi, fascinatingly, in source number 6, says, Mishiyatza miklal nifalim, hu nimna likare shomer mishmeres hakodesh. Levium are charged, as the Pesukim over there in the beginning of Bamidbar describe, with guarding, protecting, right, ensuring the sanctity of holy things. That's part of their job. And therefore, Shevet, and again, this is talking about Shevet Levi, not just Levium, but the Shevet Levi, Kohanim and Levium. And their job is to guard and to ensure Kedusha. So from the time that a child is already 30 days old, in other words, Rashi says, Mishiyatza miklal nifalim, once you're no longer a nefel. A nefel means a newborn baby who are not sure if, God forbid, the child is going to be viable. Is the child going to live? Once the child has lived for 30 days, we're confident the child is going to live. And therefore, by the Levium already, a kid's 30 days old, we're confident the child's going to survive. He's made it past those first 30 days, which is a dangerous point of a child's life. And at that point, he's already charged, so to speak, with the task of being a member of Shevet Levi and ensuring the sanctity and the protection of Kedusha. Rav Yehuda Brevi Shalom, continues Rashi, Lomud hu oso Shevet lios nimna min abeten. In fact, it makes sense that we start counting Shevet Levi at such a young age, because historically, Lamud, traditionally, we counted Shevet Levi already from the womb. What does that mean? Where do we find that? That's Yocheved. That Yocheved, who again, her mother was pregnant with her as they entered into Mitzrayim. Again, where exactly she was born? Was she born at the border? Was she born, like the Pasuk says, Kepshuto in Parshas Pinchas, in Mitzrayim, but she was conceived outside of Mitzrayim? But apparently, there's something about this family. Yocheved, the daughter of Levi, was already counted as a viable member of Klal Yisrael when she was still in utero, so to speak. And therefore, Rashi again says, "Im knisasa bepesach Mitzrayim yoldosa." As they crossed into the entrance of Mitzrayim, that's where she was born. And that brings us to the number 70. V'nimnis b'shivim nefesh. She's counted as one of the 70 souls of Yaakov's family. Shekasha'ata mona cheshbonam lo sim sa'im el ha'shivim chasar achas. You add it up, you see 70 minus 1, you really see 69. V'hi yishlim es ha'minyan. Okay, so three places. Rashi in this week's Parsha. Rashi in Parsha's Pins. Rashi at the beginning of Chumash Bamidbar. Three times where Rashi tells us that Yocheved is that mysterious number 70. Is there what to be medayik in different ways that Rashi says it? I think so. It's not going to be our topic tonight. But it is interesting that Rashi does change it a little bit each time. First he calls it in this week's Parsha that. Then in Parshas Pinchas he says, when they entered Lesol Chachoma, in the wall, Mamish in the wall, whatever that means. And here, this last Rashi in Bamidbar says, B'Pesach Mitzrayim, at the entrance of Mitzrayim. Is there a difference between the walls and in the wall and at the entrance of Mitzrayim? It could be. It could be we can make some fancy Torah out of that. Maybe for another time, a little homework for everyone to think about. But who else could have been this 70th member of the family of Yaakov? I mean, this is a very interesting tradition that our sages have. Right? That Yocheved was conceived out of Mitzrayim and born at the threshold of Mitzrayim. We're going to come back to that and try to explain it in a way of Pnimius. Right? But what else could we have imagined as a possibility of who number 70 is? And there's many different opinions. Probably most famous among them are the two that I'm going to share with you. There are others. But let's learn two other opinions before we focus on this Shita of Yocheved being born at the entrance of Mitzrayim. If you look in the Medrash Pirkei D'Rabbi Eliezer, and there are other Midrashim that bring this as well, it's a fascinating idea, a lot to think about. It says in Perek Lamed Tes, in source number 7, that who is number 70? Who rounds out this number? Again, you add up the family members at 69. Who's number 70? HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. God himself is number 70. Really, what does that mean? Ukishabo Ligvul Mitzrayim, says the Medrash in source number 7, when they came to the border of Egypt, Nisyachzu Kol HaZacharim Shishim V'Shesh, they added up, it was a total of 66. V'Yosef U'Shnei Banov, Yosef plus his two children, Ephraim and Asher, 69. Harei Shivim Choser Achas. Uksiv, but the Pasuk says, B'Shivim Nefesh Yardu Avasecha Mitzrayim, that they came down to Mitzrayim 70 souls. Now why the Medrash is quoting that Pasuk over there in Devarim is a good question. Why not quote our Pasukim over here? But okay, right? We need to get to 70. For some reason we're obsessed with this number 70. We have to get to 70. What's the secret of 70? I don't know what the secret is. The Hebrew word for secret, sod, is gematria 70. But I don't know what the secret of 70 is. But apparently Hashem wanted to get to 70. And he was stuck at 69. 66, another three in Mitzrayim, Yosef and his two sons. Nu, what's Hashem going to do? It says the Medrash where it's bolded, Ma'asa Kadosh Baruch Hu nichnas imayim b'minyan, va'alu l'mispar shiv. Hashem said, I can't stop at 69. I gotta round it off to 70. So Hashem says, okay, I'll be number 70. Well, that worked out pretty well, because in that way, it's a fulfillment of what Hashem promises us in this week's Parsha, Anochi Eired Imcha Mitzrayim. I will go down to Egypt with you. I want Hashem to come with me to Mitzrayim. Now again, a big topic for another time, but was Hashem with us in Mitzrayim or not? That's a fascinating question. We know that Moshe, during some of the Makos, is leaving Mitzrayim because he can't daven in Mitzrayim, because there's so much idolatry in Mitzrayim, that he has to step out of Mitzrayim to communicate with God. So was God's presence found in Mitzrayim or not? Well, Anochi Eiretz Imcha Mitzrayim, at the end Hashem is the one who comes to save us and take us out of Mitzrayim by Makos Bechoros. As we say in the Haggadah, Ani v'lo Malach, Ani v'lo Saraf, Ani v'lo Ashliach, I'm the one who comes to the rescue. So we know Hashem came to Mitzrayim. Was Hashem with us in Mitzrayim? The Rechaim HaKadosh in this week's Parsha and elsewhere talks about different degrees of the Shekhinah being present. In other words, yes, Hashem was found in Mitzrayim on a certain level. Hashem was also not in Mitzrayim on a certain level. And the Rechaim HaKadosh explains there's different ways that Hashem manifests himself, which is also, I guess, just an amazing topic. You know, to what degree is Hashem found more in the shul than he is in the street? To what degree is God found more at the kotel, right, than he is in the pizza store? It's a lot to think about there, and the Rechaim HaKadosh talks at length in this week's Parsha about that. But Hashem apparently wanted to get to number 70, so Hashem joined the Jews on their way into Mitzrayim. What about when they came out of Mitzrayim? Again, we had a number problem, says the Medrash. Kisha'olu Yisrael mi Mitzrayim, when we came out of Mitzrayim, they counted up all the Jews, and they saw that it was Shishim Ribo Chaser Echad. Right? It was 600,000 minus one. They were stuck. Hashem said, come on, we gotta get this. If we're going for 600,000, let's get it precise. All right, so what did Hashem do? Hashem said, okay, I'll join you. I'll be number 600,000. And that's also the fulfillment of the end of the Pasuk. I came down to Mitzrayim with you. Va'anochi a'alcha gamalo. And I came up from Mitzrayim with you. In other words, I counted amongst you on the way down to Mitzrayim and on the way out of Mitzrayim. Okay, again, there's a lot to think about here. What this shita means, that Hashem was number 70. Again, for another time, just to be aware of that shita. What would you say is the Pashut Pshat? Who's number 70 according to the Pashut Pshat? Who's number 70? Pashut Pshat. Yaakov's number 70, right? Yaakov himself is number 70. That's what the Rashbam writes, and that's what many, many Mefarshei Pshat explain. The Rashbam brings a pretty clear proof of it in source number 8, because it says, who went down to Mitzrayim? Yaakov Ubanov. And then it says the total is 70. Well, you add it up, it's only 69, right? Yaakov Ubanov, 69 amongst the children, plus Yaakov. Yaakov Mecheshbon Shiv Nefesh, says the Rashbam, Pashut Pshat. Rashbam says, Yaakov is number 70. Kamo Shemochiach Lefaneinu Lefia Pshat. That's what the Pasuk says, Yaakov Ubanov. Kol Nefesh Banov Ubanosav Shal Yaakov Aleya Kol Shloshim V'Shalosh Im Yaakov. And if you're wondering why Yaakov should be counted, again, Dafka amongst Leah, again, because that's where our number is initially off. It says 33, but it's really 32. You could argue very simply that Yaakov was primarily, Leah was primarily the main wife of Yaakov Avinu, the first wife of Yaakov Avinu. So it's reasonable to count him over there. Rabboseinu Pirshu Zoyochevet, Shonolda Ben Achomos, and he's mindful of Chazal. The Rashbam knows that the rabbis have a tradition on this, but he thinks the Pashup Shat is that you just count Yaakov as number 70. Okay, so again, different ways to get to number 70. Is it Yocheved? Is it Hashem? Is it Yaakov Avinu himself? There's an opinion that Serach Bas Asher is number 70. There's an opinion that Dina had a twin who's number 70. Okay, I want to focus on this sheet of Yocheved, because I think it's one that can inspire us, and I think it's one that can inform us about the times in which we're living. And I'm talking about both in terms of on the cusp of Mashiach, Mirtz Hashem, and also Chodesh Teves, which is a dark month. After the lights of Chanukah go out, you know, there's a heaviness to the time in which we find ourselves. And we need to find ways to continue to be hopeful and to, so to speak, continue to bask in that light after the Neros Chanukah have left us. So let's explore the Yocheved sheet. Ibn Ezra, Rabbi Avram ben Ezra, decided, as he often does, to attack Chazal. Right? Now, by saying attack Chazal, of course he's respectful of Chazal, right? But he feels that sometimes Chazal say things which are not the Pashup Shat, and he argues for Pashup Shat. And therefore he's critical. How could Yocheved be number 70? And here's how the Ibn Ezra makes his case, and it's a pretty compelling case. He has quite a few good points. He writes in source number 9, one of the people on the list is the son of Dun. Now Dun had one son, his name was Chushim. Chushim ben Dun, again an amazing character. He was deaf, he's the one who kills Esav. Chushim is spelled without a vav in the Torah, it's spelled in the same letters as Mashiach. There's a lot going on with Chushim ben Dun. He's also a very important Torah personality to explore. But it's interesting, Ubnei Dun Chushim, in the plural, Bnei Dun, the children. Why does it say children if it's only one child? So Ibn Ezra, again, who's sensitive to Pashup Shad, sensitive to Hebrew language, he writes in source number 9, Yitachin Shehayishnayim. It could be that Dun actually had another child. Bnei Dun, there were two children of Dun. It only tells us one whose name was Chushim. What happened to the other guy? Where did he go? Umeis Echon Mehem. Maybe one of Dun's children passed away. Okay, could be. Velohis Kiru Akosav, and the Torah doesn't mention him. Okein Derech HaLashon. The other possibility is, why is it plural? Because by all the other ones it was plural, so for consistency, sometimes that's the way of writing. That's what he means, Kein Derech HaLashon. Okay. Yesh Omer, some people claim, Ki Mispar Shivim Ba'avur Shu Sach Cheshbon. Says the Ibn Ezra, I've heard some explain that even though there's only 69 people, the Torah says 70 because it's nicer to speak in round numbers, to round up the Cheshbon, to make it 70. Because really, Kishishim v'tisha hayo, it was really 69. V'zeh mafarish ta. Says the Ibn Ezra, whoever claims that is mistaken. It's clearly not the case, not here at least. Sometimes the Torah does round up, perhaps, but certainly not here. Bavur shematzanu kol nefesh banav v'benosav shloshim v'shalosh v'im shloshim v'shtayim. Because you have this list that's precisely enumerated as 33 when it's really 32. So if we're only interested in round numbers, if we're always going to round up or round down or something like that, so then we wouldn't have a 33, which is off by one. So 69 must be 69, and 70 must be 70. If the Torah says 70, it has to be 70. So therefore, says the Ibn Ezra, who's number 70? Now, he quotes Chazal. Uvidrash ki yocheved nolda ben achomos. I know that the rabbis taught us in the Gemara in Bava Basra that it's yocheved, but gamzet tama. Says the Ibn Ezra, I have a big problem, and I'm not scared to take on Chazal. I have a problem with this. It doesn't make any sense. Lama lo hizkira kosuv ha-pela shenasa ima sheholida Moshe v'hi bas kuf lamed shana. Let's do a little math. If Yocheved is born at the entrance to Mitzrayim, and the Jews are in Mitzrayim for how many years? 210 years. And Moshe is 80, according to the Chumash, when they leave Mitzrayim. So how old was Yocheved when she gave birth to Moshe? 130 years old. That's not a young woman. Now the Torah is all excited about the fact that Sarah is how old when she had a baby? She's 90 years old. So says the Ibn Ezra, I don't understand. If Yocheved is actually 130 years old when Moshe Rabbeinu was born, why doesn't the Torah mention that? V'lama hizkir devar Sarah shaisa bas tishim. You're so excited Sarah was 90. Here we have a clear example of a woman who's 130. So why is that not mentioned? And therefore, concludes the Ibn Ezra, I'm going to join the camp of the Pashup Shatniks, I'm going to join the Rashbam and the Abarbanel, etc. And I'm going to say, v'anachon be'inai sheYaakov b'cheshbon. I'm going to say Yaakov is number 70, and that's why the pasuk says Yaakov u'banov, like the Rashbam told us, and that's where I'm going to leave it. Okay. Now again, it would be a big thing for us to speak scornfully of Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra is not a lightweight to easily be thrown around. Certainly not by us. We'll let the Ramban do the pushing. The Ramban writes in his introduction to Chumash. He says there are some who I will. He says I love everyone who I quote. He says, but there are some who I love more, you know, internally, even though I speak very strongly against them externally. And he's talking about Ibn Ezra. Because Ibn Ezra sometimes says strong things against Chazal and arguing in favor of Pshat. And the Ramban says, I'm going to, I think the Lashon he uses in the Hagdama is, I have an Ava Mesuteres V'tocha Megula. Meaning I'm going to rebuke him publicly. Okay? So look how the Ramban fights back against this Ibn Ezra. And again, we're learning a nice sugya in Chumash tonight. Says the Ramban in source number 10. V'hine pen yihyeh hachochem be'inav b'stiros divrei Rabboseinu. Lest the Ibn Ezra think that he's smarter than Chazal. Lest he thinks that he outsmarted Chazal. Right? By pointing out the impossibility of what Chazal said. Ani tzarech la'anos elav. Ramban takes it on chrayis to respond to Ibn Ezra. V'omer. Ki al kol panam yihyeh b'davar yocheved pelagodol min anisam anistarim sheheim yisod haTorah. No matter how you slice it, says the Ramban, something wondrous happened with Yocheved. Why? Because you got to decide when she was born. In other words, says the Ramban, Kihi bas Levi atzmo. Who is her father? Her father's Levi. Who's Levi's father? Yaakov. Okay. So I have to decide. Someone's going to be really old. Either Levi's going to be really old, and Yocheved will be not as old, right? Or Levi will be not as old, and Yocheved will be. However you slice it, someone's going to have to give birth to a child at a ripe old age. If you want to make Yocheved born earlier, so then she'll, you know, or you'll make Levi born early. However you want to slice it, at the end of the day, something is going to happen, says the Ramban, that's going to be a Pela Gadol. Min hanisim hanistar. Sheim yisod haTorah. Something wondrous is being hinted to here in the Torah. Now again, why is the Torah not making a big deal out of this miraculous birth? We're going to get to it in a minute. The Ramban is going to tell us. But it has to be someone here is very old because she's the daughter of Levi. Lo misyachas elav. She's not just a descendant of Levi. She's the daughter of Levi. Kamosha kosov asher yoldo sola Levi b'mitzrayim. Yocheved is the daughter of Levi. And we know it also from the beginning of Shemos. Es Yocheved dodaso. We know from the marital relationship and the familial relationship between Yocheved and Amram. Right, that we know that Yocheved is an actual daughter of Levi. And therefore, says the Ramban, V'hine, im no mar ki holid osob b'bachruso, kasher holid kolbanov. If you say Yocheved was born around the same time that Levi was having his other children, v'aysa leidosa acher ridosa l'mitzrayim ha'at, hine hi b'leidas Moshe z'kein amod, k'min yacham rabaseinu okarovlo. If you say that Levi gave birth to her on his younger side, right, so that means she's going to be that much older when Moshe Rabbeinu is born. And if you say, if you'll say, well, no, maybe she was born much later, well, then you're just making Levi a lot older. Right? So then Levi's giving birth at a very old age. So no matter how you slice it, it's going to come out somewhat miraculous. And again, it's something of a wonder. So what do we make of the fact that the Torah is not making a big deal out of this? I mean, why is the Torah, it's so excited to tell us that Avram's 100 and Sarah's 90, right? It could be that Levi was also up there. It could be that Yocheved was 130 years old when she gave birth to Moshe Rabbeinu according to Chazal. So why doesn't the Torah emphasize that? So says the Ramban in the amazing Yesod, such an important idea for us to be aware of. The Ramban writes, he says right before it's bolded, he said, first of all, the Torah only writes openly about those things that were either predicted by a Navi or sent by a Malach. Meaning, once the Torah makes a prediction, the Torah wants to make sure that you know that it's carried out all the way. But there's miracles happening all over the Torah that the Torah is not making such a big deal out of. And the reason is as follows. Says the Ramban where it's bolded. V'lama yizkreim ha-kasuf. Kol yisodas ha-Torah benisim nistarim. How does the Torah decide what to mention, what not to mention? There's wonders all over the place if you're paying attention. Says the Ramban, Va'am ha-Torah ein b'chol inyano rak nisim lo tevo minag. Because the Ramban says, because once I start pointing out every miracle, what's not a miracle? Let's think about this for a second. Look what the Ramban writes here. It's an amazing paragraph. Sharei Yehudei ha-Torah kulam osos umofsim. Everything the Torah tells us is of a wondrous nature. What does that mean? Ki lo yichareis v'yamus b'teva habal achas min ha-rayos o ha-ochal chelev. There's something called kares. Kares is a very serious penalty for a person who violates the most serious of errors. So for example, says the Ramban, if a person eats chelev, certain types of forbidden fats, or a person is sexually involved with one of the arayos, a person could be chayav kares. A person could be chayav misa bidei shamayim. There are certain penalties in the Torah that are supernatural. Why should two people being intimate with each other cause some type of strange death? How does that make it? That's a miracle. That's a miraculous thing. That's not natural. You eat this type of food and it's so spiritually poisonous that it's going to cause you to die some unusual death? That doesn't make sense. Or how about this, says the Ramban? V'lo yu ha-shamayim kabarzel b'tivam mipnezar einu b'shana ha-shviyas. If a person starts to plant in the Shemitah year, the heavens are going to punish him. That's not natural. There's nothing natural about that. That's a miracle. That's a wondrous thing. That the way that you act, if you do an Aveira, there's a response from on high that the natural world somehow responds to. There's nothing natural about that. V'chein kol Yehudei HaTorah b'tovos ha'hein v'chol hatzlachos ha'tzadikim b'tzirkasam. All of the promises and all of the success of tzaddikim in response to You daven and now you get a result? Someone davens and someone's illness goes away? That's natural? There's nothing natural about that. Look what he says. V'chol tfilos David malkeinu. V'chol tfilos seinu. Nisim v'niflos. We're constantly swimming in miracles. So the Torah can't point out every miracle. You have to learn how to read between the text and you have to say, wow, Yocheved was 130 years old. You should be wowed by that. But you should also be wowed by the fact that you daven Shmona Esrei and maybe you got a result that afternoon. Or you should be wowed by the fact that when a person does an Aveira, he's going to have to answer for it. Or when a tzaddik learns Torah, it brings goodness to the world. Those are all wondrous things. Yet all of these things happen somehow within the natural order of the world, but they're really quite wondrous if you pay attention to them. And therefore the Ramban says, there's nothing to be shocked about. The fact that Yocheved was 130 years old, it's absolutely possible. It's also reasonable that the Torah wouldn't point it out. He goes on and explains why, again, Avram and Sarah were so noteworthy, simply the fact that they didn't have children all of this time, and now the Torah wants to show that transformation, how a Malach was sent to predict the birth of this child. That's why the Torah made a big deal out of it, but there's wonders all over the Torah, and there's wonders all over the life of a Torah Jew. So much of our interaction with Torah and how it plays out in our real life is a wondrous thing. Okay, so the Ramban has defended the possibility that Yocheved was born at the entrance to Mitzrayim, and she would have been 130 years old when she gave birth to Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, good. So now, let's delve a little deeper into it. Because why was Yocheved born at the border? What's the message in Yocheved being born at the border? And what does it mean for us? Lubavitcher Rebbe, actually, in a sicha from 1972, Parshas Vayigash, he pointed out that it's actually interesting to think about that Rashi adopts the opinion of Chazal. Why do I say it's interesting? It's interesting because Rashi's mission statement, which he first introduces us to in Bereishis Parak Gimel Pasaches, is that I'm going to keep things as pashut as possible. I'm only going to use Midrashim or Gemaras if I need to. I'm here to explain Pshuto Shel Mikra. Why? This is Pshuto Shel Mikra? I would have thought the Rashbam is Pshuto Shel Mikra. Ibn Ezra is Pshuto Shel Mikra. Right? The fact that Rashi is sort of rallying for Chazal is significant, and Lubavitcher Rebbe Kedarko Bekodesh in a very mystical way explains the different shitas here. And he explains why Hashem is number 70, and why Yaakov is number 70, and why Yocheved is number 70, and how it plays out in different realms, in different worlds, Atzilus and Bria and Yetzirah and Asiya. It's a fascinating piece. It's very, very deep and very complicated, but it's certainly noteworthy. But I want to share with you the approach of Rav Moshe Wolfson. And I always have tremendous hakaras hatov when I mention Rav Wolfson's name. Because probably the individual who first opened my eyes to learning the Torah in a deep way, to really being able to realize that every single word of Torah and everything that we've been learning tonight in Pshat. We learned a couple of Gemaras, a couple of Rashis, and Ibn Ezra, Rashbam, Ramban. We're just learning a simple sugya and Chumash. Right? There's always a deeper layer. Rav Wolfson was the first one to really open that up for me in his Sfarim, Emunas Yitecha. I've had the chutz to meet him a couple of times. But I feel a tremendous sense of personal hakaras haTov, that my whole worldview, in a certain sense, of how I try to learn Torah, and really my introduction to Chassidus in a deep way, is really through the eyes of Rav Moshe Wolfson Shlita. So Rav Wolfson writes in a beautiful essay, in his Sefer, it's called Emunas Yitecha. He says, let's go back to the Gemara for one second, because the Gemara itself is telling us there's something special happening here. If you go back to that Gemara in Bava Basra, which Rashi based himself upon, the Gemara in Bava Basra in source number 11 says that Abba Khalifa Kruya asked Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, how do you explain these psukim? They were talking about these psukim. And they were wondering, how do we explain? The Torah says 70, but I added it up. It's only 69. How do you explain that? So he said to him, well, maybe Dina had a twin, like I told you earlier. And then he says to him, okay, you want to know the real answer? I'll tell you the real answer. And he starts to reveal to him the real answer. And the Gemara uses an interesting lashon. Look at the Gemara says where it's bolded. Amar margalis tova haisa biyadi va'ata mavakish la'avda mimeni. You had a precious pearl in your hand, and I nearly lost it. This is such an important explanation. It's like finding a diamond. It's like discovering a pearl. And you almost didn't share it with me. When I asked you for the interpretation, you gave me some other interpretation. Here's the real intention. Hachi Amar Rabbi Chama bar Chanina. Here's what Rabbi Chama bar Chanina taught. Zo yocheved. She was conceived along the way and was born between the walls. Asks for Moshe Wolfson, what's the pearl? What's this gem, this pearl, this diamond that's found in this teaching? I mean, says Rav Wolfson, every word of Torah, every Maimer Chazal, every teaching is a gem, is a diamond, is a pearl. What did he say? This is such a fundamental pearl. This is like a treasure. Once you know this secret of Yocheved, so you've got the treasure. What's this treasure here? What's the pearl that's concealed, that's hidden within this teaching? So Wolfson explains, by explaining to us, he begins his explanation, by reminding us of the relationship between Gullus and Geula, between exile and redemption. And he does so by way of the Medrash in Eicha. It's a painful Medrash, but we know it all too well. Rabbi Avin Pasach, Hisbi'ani Bimrorim. You satisfied me, hisbiani, v'chalta v'savata. You satiated me with merorim, with maror. When is that? B'leile ha-pesach shayom tavarishon. When a Jew comes to the Seder, you sit there, and you feel satiated by maror. In the sense that what? The maror, of course, is a reminder of the bitterness of Mitzrayim, but of course we're celebrating the maror. At the Seder, we celebrate the maror. Some tzaddikim even kiss the maror. You ever hear such an idea? Rav Hutner explains in the Pachad Yitzchak this idea that people kiss the maror. Right? We show that the maror is being transformed on this night. Yes, it's sort of taking us all the way back to the bitterness, but it's a bitterness that ends with redemption. So at the Seder night, we have a certain type of maror, but continues the Pasuk in Eicha, Hirvani la'ana, but you also filled me up with la'ana, which is some type of bitter root, b'tisha b'av. And that's on Tisha b'av. The same way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you gave me bitterness on the night of Pesach, you also gave me bitterness on Tisha B'Av. In other words, what's the Medrash hinting to? It's brought in the Shulchan Aruch that the same day of the week that the Seder is the same day of the week that Tisha B'Av is. Shulchan Aruch brings a way to remember it, At Bash, right? Aleph Pesach, the first day of Pesach, corresponds to Tav, to Tisha B'Av. Beis, the second day of Pesach, Beis corresponds to Shin, to Shavuos. There's a way to remember how the calendar works. So there's a strange link between Leil HaSeder and Tisha B'Av, that they share some date in the calendar. We actually bring them together on the Seder plate, right? By recalling with either the Zroa or maybe the Beitza, recalling the Chorban. There's a very strange link between Pesach and between Tisha B'Av. It's a calendar link, but it's also an emotional link. And what the Medrash is telling us, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you took us from celebrating that transformation of bitterness on Pesach, and he sent us back to that bitterness with the Chorban on Tisha B'Av. So what's that link? What is that link about? Says Rav Wolfson, it's actually a very positive link. It's not a negative link. It's a link that reminds us that Golus and Geula are inextricably linked in a way that's actually very, very meaningful for us. Why do I have to find a connection to Tisha B'Av in Pesach? Why am I rooting my Golus experience in Geula? Right? Again, I would have read this Medrash and I would have said, it's so sad. The Medrash is simply lamenting the fact that once upon a time, things were really good. We got out of Mitzrayim. We had what to celebrate. But now, life's terrible because we have the Chorban. Rav Wolfson says, no, no, no. What it's telling us is that the Chorban is rooted in Geula. What does that mean? It's what Yosef is experiencing in this week's Parsha. When Yosef says to the brothers, in some of the most powerful psukim in Chumash, Yosef says to the brothers, it's not your fault. This whole thing is not your fault. This was all God's master plan. You think this was, you sent me into Gullus, you set up this Geula. Yes, it's going to lead to more Gullus first, but eventually, this is all part of becoming Klal Yisrael. This is all about getting us to Kabbalah Satorah. And Yosef says, I'm not angry. The brothers can't talk when Yosef reveals himself. And Yosef says, this is not your fault. Don't think that you're responsible for this. This is a Kodesh Baruch Hu's master plan. I think I mentioned in the past once the Sfas Emes in this week's Parsha, the unbelievable Sfas Emes. It's half a line. But when Yosef says to the brothers, I am your brother, I am Achichem, Asher Machartem Osi Mitzrayim, it's not on the page in front of you. Asher Machartem Osi Mitzrayim, that you sent to Mitzrayim, that you sold to Mitzrayim. The Sfas Emes links that word Asher to another Asher in the Torah. When Moshe is recalling the breaking of the Luchos, and Hashem says, the Luchos Asher Shibarta, and if you remember Rashi over there, Asher means what? Yasher Koach Shibarta. So when Yosef says the Sfas Emes, when Yosef says to the brothers, Asher Machartem Osi, Yasher Koach, Shkoach, thanks for selling me. It's all part of Hashem's master plan. I'm not upset at you, I'm not going to take revenge against you. It's this recognition that Golus, as rooted in Geula, has to take place. We need to go through Golus in order to get to Geula. And with this, Rav Wolfson explains in Source 13. Now we understand why Yocheved has to be born precisely as we cross that border from Eretz Yisrael into Mitzrayim. It's mamish precise. V'chein kan, says Rav Wolfson in Source 13, Im teikaf bichoneis Yisrael l'Mitzrayim bein achomos nod l'Yocheved. Mamish at that moment of transition from the world of Eretz Yisrael to the world of Mitzrayim, Yocheved, the mother of redemption, the mother of Moshe Rabbeinu, Dafka at that moment has to be born. Shehi imo shel Moshe, Aaron, u'Miriam. Sheheim hashluchim l'geula. The mother of the redeemers of Klal Yisrael, Moshe, Aaron, Miriam. It's all in her schus. Simen shebenekudas harashis shel hagalus. At that first point of experiencing exile, sham gam nitzmach nekudas harashis shel geula. At that very moment, the seed of geula has to be planted. Shere Mitzrayim hi al gvul Eretz Yisrael. Mitzrayim borders Eretz Yisrael. They're literally crossing from that world of exile into that world of redemption. And the point of connection is so precise. Uva oso drisas haregel. Shebo yatsu me'eretz Yisrael v'nichnesu l'mitzrayim l'galus. Ba oso drisas regel no led shorash ha'gula. Mamash, with the same step, that same footstep, that was crossing over from that world of Eretz Yisrael to the world of Mitzrayim, at that moment that galus was being formed, Yocheved was being born, Geula was being formed. The mother of Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam was being born in that moment. Says Rav Wolfson in the left-hand column where it's underlined, it had to be this way. She'ein ha-galus maschil ela imkein maschil v'yachad imo b'geula. Because there cannot be a galus unless there's a geula that comes along with it. It's a Kodesh Baruch Hu's way of preparing the medicine before the illness, so to speak. And maybe, and Rav Wolfson doesn't really get back to it, but maybe that's why he called it, maybe that's why in that Gemara in Bava Basra, they refer to it as a pearl. You had this margalit, you had this pearl that you almost didn't give to me. Where is a pearl formed? A pearl is also formed between two walls. Between the two walls of the shell of the mollusk. Right? And it's amazing how pearls are actually formed. I was reading up on it today. It's not the famous, you know, explanation that some sand gets trapped in the pearl. It's actually when some small bacteria enters into the shell of the mollusk, and it creates some type of irritant, right? So that as a defense mechanism, it starts to secrete some type of substance, And that produces, and it keeps doing that over and over and over and over again until it makes this beautiful pearl. So literally between the walls of the shell, as a defense mechanism against a potentially damaging and threatening irritant, some type of parasite that has found its way into the shell, a beautiful pearl is being formed. And that's Yocheved being born, mamish. Mamish in between the walls. At that moment of gullus, there has to be geulah. I'll tell you an amazing story that I just read. There was a woman, a Holocaust survivor. She calls up a rabbi one time. She's in Eretz Yisrael. She calls up a rabbi, and she says, I want to make a donation to the local organization. Okay. So she says, Rabbi, I'm homebound. If you can come to my house, I want to write out a check for you. Okay, sure. So he shows up at her house, and she gives him a check, and he figures, you know, all right, a couple of shekelim, whatever it is, 18 shekel, 36 shekel. Maybe if he's really lucky, 180 shekel. She's not a wealthy woman. He gets back to his car. He opens up the check. He takes a look. He sees 28,742 shekelim. Okay. I didn't think that she was going to give such a... Not stam. So he's... What kind of strange... 28,742. He can't understand what that's about. He goes back upstairs to her apartment. And he says to the woman, thank you so much. This is a very sizable donation. I expected, you know, a small sum. This is a very, very nice donation. I'm so appreciative. I'm just curious. What's with that number? 28,742. The woman rolls up her sleeve. And she shows him 28,742. And she says, this number, my whole life has been such a source of pain for me. And I said, I can't allow this to end like this. She says, I'm getting older now. I had to turn this pain, I had to turn this number into something positive. I had to turn this gullus into gula. That's Yocheved being born at that moment. Lubavitch Rebbe used to always say, it's the mandate of darkness to become light. It's a line from the Zohar, really. Right? That really only true light can come from a place of darkness. So yes, dafka, trapped, bein hamitzarim, mamish, like we call the 3 weeks. Literally between the walls at that moment is dafka where Yocheved is born. I know the hour is late, and I'm sure many of us still want to daven ma'ariv by a show of hands. Good, we'll daven right after the shir. Give me 2 more minutes, we'll finish up very quickly. Yehuda, of course, is the king of Klal Yisrael. It's the shevet that represents the royalty of Klal Yisrael. Which shevet seems to mess up more than the rest? You could say shevet Dan, but shevet Shimon does some pretty embarrassing things throughout their story. And therefore, at the end of the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu comes to bless the Shvatim, and he doesn't give a bracha to Shimon, the same way that Yaakov Avinu gave a rebuke to Shimon and Levi. Shimon is probably most responsible for the sale of Yosef at Tzadik, who got them into this whole mess to begin with. Which again, Yosef is seeing the Ashkacha Pratasim. But when Moshe Rabbeinu in Vizos HaBracha gives a bracha to Yehuda, in Source 14, Vizos LeYehuda, Vayomar, Shema Hashem Kol Yehuda, says Rashi, there's a secret bracha for Shimon, right? Says Rashi in Source 15, Davar Acher, Shema Hashem Kol Yehuda, Kan Remez or Ramaz Bracha LeShimon Mitoch Berchosav Shal Yehuda. Hinted to in the bracha of Yehuda is a little shout out for Shimon, a little bracha for Shimon. And so too, says Rashi, when Eretz Yisrael is going to be divided, Shimon is also linked again with Yehuda. There's a link between Shimon and Yehuda. What exactly is this link between Shimon and Yehuda? So Rav Moshe Wolfson concludes his beautiful essay, and there's a lot more there. He goes on to explain again Hashem and Sarach and all the other opinions of who the 70th one was. But says Rav Wolfson, I think you can answer based on the following. The B'nai Yisachar writes, based on the Arizal, that every Shevet has a corresponding month. What month is the month of Yehuda? It's Chodesh Nisan. What month is the month of Shevet Shimon? It's Chodesh Av. So explains Rav Wolfson, you know the answer at this point if you're paying attention, right? Why does Shimon, why does Chodesh Av, so to speak, get its bracha through Yehuda? Because the same way that Tisha B'Av, so to speak, gets its bracha through what? Through Yetzias Mitzrayim, through the Geula of Pesach. Again, furthering that link that exists between Gullus and Geula. And therefore, when a Jew finds oneself in Gullus, again, as we face the dark days of Teves, and we've got some time now until, and really we're just entering into these parshios of the gullus of Klal Yisrael. Remember that every gullus is really a ghoul in disguise. Like that courageous Holocaust survivor who said, I'm not going to allow this number to be the number that the Nazis gave me. I'm going to turn it into gemilas chasadim. I'm going to turn it into chesed, into tzedakah, into something positive. And maybe in conclusion, in the final source, when Moshe Rabbeinu, that child of Yocheved, who was born between the walls, when Moshe Rabbeinu turns to Hashem at the beginning of Shemos, and says, Ribbono Shel Olam, I want to take the Jews out of Mitzrayim. I don't speak the language. I don't know how to convince them that I am the true Redeemer. I'm a son of Yocheved. I'm a person who's trying to help. I don't know. Well, how should I tell them that you sent me? How can I convince the Jews that I'm actually the one who's being sent to take them out of Mitzrayim? What's your name, God? And what does Hashem say to Moshe Rabbeinu in Pasuk Yudalid? Vayomer Elokim al Moshe, Eka Asher Eka, Ayah Asher Ayah. I will be what I will be. It's the name of Hashem. Aleph and Hey and Yud and Hey is the name of God. Eka Asher Eka. I will be what I will be. I will be what I will be. The Svarim explain, and again, there's different ways to explain it, more barichas, but just to see the remez shabo. Right? Hashem says a certain name of Hashem, a unique name of Hashem. Ehyeh, I will be. It's a Kodesh Baruch Hu's way of saying, I have always been with you and I always will be with you. And Hashem says that name twice. Eka and Eka. In the Alkit Ruveni, which is an interesting collection of very deep ideas, he writes that the name Yocheved is Gematria 42. The Gematria of Yocheved is 42. Right? There's a name of God, the Shem Mem Beis, the 42 letter name of Hashem, which is Anubah Koach. But also, if you think about it, Eke plus Eke, Ehayah plus Ehayah, these two names of Hashem, that Hashem tells Moshe is the ticket to Geula, is also Gematria 42. Aleph Hey and Yud and Hey is Gematria 21. Hashem says that name twice, as if to say, Moshe Rabbeinu, you come from that world of Yocheved. You come from that world of Geula. You're a person who understands that Dafka in a place of Gullis is where the Geula comes from. Moshe was raised in Paro's home. What greater example is there of Geula coming from a place of Gullis than that? So Amir Tzashem, we should learn this lesson well. Again, there's a lot more to think about here. But again, to appreciate, you know, Yocheved being born in that very tense and difficult situation, to understand that being born Bein HaChomos was actually a big bracha in disguise. And again, to always remember that when we find ourselves in dark moments in life, remember what the Baba Trebi said, the mandate of darkness is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands of it that it should become light. We should be zochet to see it with our own eyes. Shabbos. Love Marv right now.